Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and the New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so today, man, we had a marathon in Austin.
The right? Austin Marathon.
That's yep. Right. Austin Marathon. Screwed up traffic all around town.
It was miserable
traffic. It was terrible traffic. Just awful. All right. So the battle of the billionaires for the most powerful office in the world. That's where we are today. That's what we're talking about. The battle of the billionaires for the most powerful office in the world. You have Michael Bloomberg and what's the other guy's name?
Donald Trump.
And the other guy's name?
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. That's right. That's right. Battle of the billionaires. I tell you, I don't know what's going on, but that's where we are today. So we're going to see, you know, especially on the Democrat side, who's going to win that primary. I think Bloomberg's going to pull it through. He's going to be that trifecta. He's going to have Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders.
Did you hear that Bloomberg was going to have Hillary Clinton run as his VP?
I heard that.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
That'd be hilarious.
I know, right?
It doesn't seem like a very smart decision. Since,
no, it's
you
a
know,
stupid decision, actually.
She can suicide herself into the presidency at any time, you know?
If you ever want some free entertainment, just go to one of those Bloomberg posts that shows up as a sponsored post on Facebook and read the comments.
It's hilarious.
He's paying for memes.
He's
and everyone's mad because they don't have to classify them as political ads like you do normally on Facebook and Instagram. And all the Republicans are like, he's gaming the system. I'm like, he's not gaming the system. He's just smarter than you.
He's working the system.
The best part about knowing the rules is how to bend them to your will. Like, don't get mad because he thought of it before you did.
He knows social media. He knows how that stuff works. All right. So, and also we have a guest. We have a Charles Cotton. Charles is actually used to be the, and I'm not sure if he still is, he used to be on the board for the NRA. He's an attorney out of Houston, Texas. And I want to kind of talk with Charles about fugitive from justice. You know, when a person walks into the gun store to purchase a firearm, you know, what classifies them as a fugitive from justice? So I invited Charles Cotton to the show to talk to us about that. Charles, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir. How you doing?
Hello, Michael. I appreciate you having me. Sound like it's going to be a good topic to discuss today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so you also have one of the largest, you know, online blogs for Texas gun owners, you know, where we can go and ask questions and all that stuff. What is it called?
It's the Texas CHL Forum. It started back in 2004.
All right, and then I'll tell people about a little bit about yourself, you know, because I know you were on the board for the NRA. I don't know if you still are, and you're also an attorney in Houston. You know, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, I'll keep it short. I'm too old to give you all the history. I got started in advocating for the Second Amendment, both legislatively and politically. Back in 1980, but I'll start with 87. That's when I met Doc Brown, who was at the time the legislative director for the Texas State Rifle Association. And from that point on, I served as the unofficial pro bono legislative counsel for TSRA. And in that position, I have I'll read everything that's filed, whether it's on our side of the issue or our opponents. I have written some or all of most of the pro-gun bills that we've passed since 87. Not all of them, but most of them. And I will counsel with senators, members of the House, whatever, you know, for free. I don't charge them anything when they have some questions about how they can accomplish something in support of the Second Amendment. As you said, I was elected to the Board of Directors in the NRA in 2001, and I still serve in that capacity. In fact, I'm up for re-election right now.
Nice.
And in April, I was elected first vice president of the NRA.
Okay. And then what I want to talk to you today about is this this decision by the Justice Department, because prior to, I want to say, 2017, if a person was a fugitive from justice, meaning that they had a warrant for their arrest for something, and it didn't matter if they left the state or not, they were denied from getting a firearm in a federal firearms license dealer at a gun store, basically. And then what happened was, after 2017, under the Trump administration, what happened was you had the ATF and also the FBI disagree on their interpretation of what a fugitive from justice was. So the DOJ had to settle that argument. And so that's kind of what I want to talk to you about, you know, today, and what's your take on that?
Okay, I've read a couple of articles on that, and I wanted to make sure that I wasn't having a sometimer's moment, and there'd been a change in the Gun Control Act that I wasn't aware of. And sure enough, there's no change. I did research it. I guess my response to the issue of fugitive is twofold. Number one, the DOJ got it right. I mean, the ATF was using an incredibly broad interpretation when they were saying the mere existence of a warrant for someone's arrest made them a fugitive. That's not the legal standard. It's not even the federal standard. Mm. In order to be a fugitive, you have to be taking steps to avoid apprehension, and you have to know that there's a warrant out there. The reason I think in this particular case, and they're talking about that case out of Austin, the reason I say that I think that it's much to do about nothing is the status of being a fugitive is only one of a number of ways to be a prohibited person in terms of an FFL doing a NICS check. The other way, the one that would have applied to that fellow in Austin, he had apparently been indicted on a felony because they had a felony warrant. You don't get warrants without indictments. And being indicted is a prohibitor under 18 U.S.C. 922 N is in Nancy. So the only thing that would need to be done there would have been for Harris County to notify the FBI so they can get it in the NICS system that he was under indictment.
Yeah, it was a big problem because we're talking about Dalton Brosh, that case, or Brosh, I'm not sure how they pronounce that last name. But we're talking about that case where the guy was in Austin and he went to a park, Pease Park. It was a really big deal. And someone saw that he had a rifle and possibly something else. They called 911. And then apparently, allegedly, he hid the rifle in the bushes. And so when the Austin Police Department responded to the call, they figured out, okay, he hit the rifle in the bushes, allegedly, and they did their investigation, and he figured out, okay, well, there's something going on here. And so they did what they normally do, I forget what you call it. You stop someone, and you run a check for warrants and things of that nature. And then they said, hey, this guy has a warrant out of Houston, out of Harris County. For his arrest. And then it came out that he was able to purchase the firearm from a gun store in Austin. And the big talk was, how in the world did he get this firearm from this gun store if he had a warrant for his arrest? And so that's what we're talking about. And Charles, people were just floored by this, and they were just shocked, and it caused a big stir. You know, and they got comments from everyone about this. And all the news outlets ran this story. It made national news, as a matter of fact. And they just wanted to know how this guy get an AR-15 from a gun store if he had a warrant for his arrest.
Yeah, and it's a matter of notice. And frankly, it's also a matter of timing. The story that I actually read two stories. neither one of them really told me when this indictment was handed down, and therefore, number one, did Harris County, the Harris County DA's office, have time to notify the FBI? And secondly, if they did have sufficient time, why didn't they? But it's a notice issue. I noticed the Wall Street Journal article said Gina Hinojosa is going to file a bill. Well, that's no surprise. You can't get much more anti-gun than Gina, except maybe Bloomberg, you guys were talking about earlier.
If she gets reelected, because she has an awesome opponent who is our co-host, Janai Aragono. He's actually running against Gina Hinojosa. So we're pushing for Janai to get into that seat.
Yeah, well, God bless him. I hope so.
All right, hold on, Charles.
Like I say,
there.
We're
talking with Charles Cotton. He's the he's on the board for the National Rifle Association. We're talking about the fugitive from justice. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Yo, what's going on, guys? It's Chad Jones here, and I get my gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're talking about the ruling that came down from the Department of Justice, where the Department of Justice had to settle an argument between the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and also the FBI, the NICS. And the two different agencies disagreed on what a fugitive from justice was. The FBI said, hey, you know, if a person is a fugitive from justice, they have a warrant for their arrest. We're going to deny them from purchasing a firearm. Well, the ATF said, they would have to be a fugitive from justice, meaning that they would have had to left the state in order for them to be denied from purchasing a firearm. And so the Department of Justice came down and made the decision back in 2017 under the Trump administration and decided to agree with the ATF on their side of the house that, hey, if you're a fugitive from justice, meaning that you left the state for certain types of warrants, majority of warrants, then you would be denied from getting a firearm. And so we're talking with Charles Cotton. He's a board member for the National Rifle Association. Also, he's an attorney in Houston, Texas. And Charles has actually been around the gun scene. He's gone back and forth to the Capitol, been very instrumental in, you know, Texas gun laws and just our firearms freedom. And so that's why I invited Charles Cotton to the show. And Charles, now what's the consequences of on the criminal side, you know, of like an instructor, you know, telling someone that they took a class with them on the criminal side?
I'm sorry, Michael, if the instructor told the student what?
If an instructor just said, hey, you know, this person took a LTC class with me, you know, what's the, you know, is there a criminal penalty for that on a criminal side?
No, there isn't. The confidentiality provision that we put actually in the initial concealed handgun statute that was Senate Bill 60 in 95, the confidentiality requirement prohibits the Texas Department of Public Safety from providing information as to whether a person has a Texas CHL or now an LTC to anyone other than a law enforcement agency. But that's the only entity that's prohibited from releasing that information. You can tell someone that, yeah, so and so took a class from me, even if the prohibition extended to us instructors. If all you said was they took a class with me, you're not even telling them that they actually applied for the license and got it. So it's not unlawful to do that.
All right. And then and just what's your overall view on this situation? With, you know, this goes back to 2017 and them going back and forth and switching this as a recap. You know, what's your overall take on this?
Well, first of all, admitting my bias, I think it's a scare tactic by some media outlets. Certainly that a similar article ran in the Trace. And everybody that reads the Trace knows that it's a Bloomberg propaganda rag as part of Everytown. But I think it's a scare tactic because they want to focus solely on the status of being a quote-unquote fugitive from justice. And yes, being a fugitive from justice is a disqualifier for possession of firearms, but so is being indicted on a felony or being having an information on a misdemeanor of family violence. So there's still the people that most folks would say shouldn't have guns, violent felons, they still can't have them. They don't have to be classified as being a fugitive from justice. And the reason I say I think the DOJ was correct is that the statute expressly says you have to cross state lines to avoid prosecution. And if you don't cross state lines, then you certainly don't meet that definition. And I think it's somewhat ironic that the ATF is really taking the conservative view of this after having for 50 years interpreting a firearms receiver, for instance, an AR-15 lower or the lower frame for a 1911, interpreting that as a quote-unquote firearm when their own definition expressly says, no, it's not. It's only got two elements of the four required. So it's ironic. I don't know why they did it, but I do think that they were correct in saying that you got to cross county. You got to cross state lines.
Okay. And like I said before, you know, Gina, you know, like you said, Gina has filed says she's going to file a bill. She filed a bill this last session. And then also, you know, we have someone that's a co-host on a show here who's actually running against Gina Hinojosa. So we're actually, you know, hoping that, you know, she can do something really good for us here in Texas and beat Gina.
Yeah, well, she got my prayers.
Now, let's before I cut you loose there, the NRA. So you're going to run again?
Yeah, I'm up for re-election right now, and the ballots are in your latest magazine. So I hope a lot of our folks do vote. We always have a small turnout, but that's, you know, that seems to be the way of life everywhere. I bet it's not in Virginia on the next election.
Oh, but I bet you it's not. I tell you, they're realizing, boy, they better get their butts up and get out there and vote in that next election this year.
You know, the ironic thing, and I realize I'm kind of running on a rabbit trail here, but a lot of folks think Democrats outnumber Republicans in the state of Virginia. That absolutely is not so. Northern Virginia is really southern D.C. right now. But the southern part of the state is a stronghold for Republicans, and they flat did not turn out, not just for this, the last election, but for the last two. And the margins would have been a whole lot worse than they are. Their two-vote margin in the Senate, and I think it's something like 10 votes in the House, and it would have been a whole lot worse. But, yeah, like I say, I'm off on a rabbit trail, but I want people to get out and vote whenever you have the opportunity, be it state elections, national elections, NRA elections, you name it. If you have that right, exercise it.
All right, absolutely. Man, I tell you what, thank you, Charles Cotton, attorney, and also NRA board member. Thank you for coming on the show and breaking this down for us.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely, sir. All right, that's Charles Cotton. He's the NRA board member and also an attorney out of Houston, Texas, talking to us about fugitive from justice. And also, you know, man, I tell you, you know, we got to get out and vote this next election if you're worried about your Second Amendment rights. All right, so now, well, let's talk about some current events and what's going on around the world. I tell you, we have, let's see, Mike Bloomberg. Mike Bloomberg's running for office, and he's getting some steam there. And so Mike there, had something to say. I don't know if we have this video up or not, but, you know, he had some things to say about stop and frisk, you know, and when he was mayor of New York. And so basically what he did was this guy's mayor of New York, and in New York, you know, they come up with laws and rules about everything. You can't have, you know, this size drink, you know, you can't do this, try to, you know, just like California, try to get rid of straws. But you know what? Well, let's get rid of straws, but, you know, let's give the homeless or other people, you know, drug users, free needles. You know, I just don't get that. You're going to give them free needles, but you want to get rid of straws. That's just crazy to me. And here in Austin, you know, we have thousands of thousands of needles on the roads, you know, on the sides of the roads. And, you know, people want to get rid of straws. That makes no sense. Like a double standard.
It's crazy.
What do you think about that, Felicia? You know I'm coming to you.
Yeah, I know. I actually carry plastic straws in my purse so that if I go somewhere that has paper ones, I'm prepared.
All right, so listen to this video with Mike Bloomberg. You carry your own straws. I heard you there. All right, let's listen to this video from Mike Bloomberg here.
Your murders, murderers, and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25. That's true in New York. It's true in virtually every city. And that's where the real crime is. You've got to get the guns out of the hands of the people that get killed. So you've got to be willing to spend the money, put a lot of cops in the street, put those cops where the crime is, which means in the minority neighborhoods. So this is one of the unintended consequences is people say, oh my God, you are arresting kids for marijuana. They're all minorities. Yes. That's true.
All right, so you have Mike Bloomberg there that basically he's saying that the crime is only in the minority communities. We're going to talk about that more. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Chloe on the War, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill. We're talking all things firearms. Now, here's Michael Cargill.
Now it's time for GGN, Global Gun News. Global Gun News, sponsored by Central Texas Gunworks, the largest online gun store in Texas. In the news.
All right, welcome back to your favorite part of the show, everybody, the Global Gun News. My name is Gary Faust, and I'm here to provide you with the gun news from around this beautiful earth that we inhabit. This week, I'm going to start off with a story that we touched on last week, but we didn't include it on the segment as it was still developing. So last Saturday around 3:30 p.m. and bear with me on this because I don't know Thai very well, but in Nakhon Ratchasima, Thailand, a Thai soldier identified as Jakra Panthoma. Did I get that right, Felicia?
I really couldn't tell you.
He went on a shooting spree that killed 29 people and wounded at least 57 others. Now, the 32-year-old sergeant major shot and killed his commanding officer and the officer's mother-in-law before going on the rampage. After committing the first two murders, Toma went on to go to an army base. He shot a soldier, stole a truck, stole two assault rifles, machine gun, and almost 800 rounds of ammunition. He then went on to kill nine more at a nearby Buddhist temple before moving on to a shopping mall where the spree continued. After nearly 16 hours, the police were able to kill the gunman. This was the second mass shooting in Thailand within the past month. Next up, we've got Lego guns. All right, a Lego exhibit at the Harley Gallery in Nottinghamshire, England, has come under scrutiny by gun control activists for Irish artist David Turner's display of replica firearms made from Legos. The Gun Control Network, a nonprofit gun control group based in the UK, says the exhibit's inclusion of the artwork is promoting guns. According to Turner, the Lego guns are inspired by his childhood in Northern Ireland, which he says was very much guns every single day with the police and the army. He adds, "It absolutely does not glamorize guns. It is what it is, a representation of guns made entirely from Lego." But the Gun Control Network says that it is, quote, "complete nonsense to attach any artistic value to the work." Additionally, the Gun Control Network is demanding the gallery remove the piece and accept it was an error of judgment. Lisa Gee, the gallery's director, says art is designed to challenge our beliefs and preconceptions, adding that there have been many positive reviews of Turner's work. Okay, in South Carolina, a man was arrested on Tuesday for being a felon in possession of a firearm and ammunition, among other charges. Zachary Shakur Stevens was stopped by police around 2 a.m. for a broken taillight when police supposedly smelled marijuana in his car. After being asked to step out of the vehicle, Stevens scuffled with police before being tasered and taken to jail. During a search of the vehicle, police found a .40 caliber pistol behind the driver's seat. When asked about the firearm, he told deputies that he is a member of the Crips street gang and was en route to visit his son, who lives in Bloods territory. Now, his argument is that he needed it for personal protection. And for those of you that don't know, the Bloods are rival gang to the Crips. And Stevens says that a relative loaned him the firearm just the day before. A bondsman posted Stevens $50,000 bail, and he was released from jail. However, his charges are still pending in state court. And lastly, got a Florida man story for you. CCTV caught a Florida man stealing a firearm from an unlocked vehicle and subsequently firing it into a gas station bathroom while driving a stolen truck. The gas station in which he was seen discharging the firearm in is also located across the street from a school. Deputies in Hillsborough County, Florida, have arrested Bruce Allen Renner for grand theft auto, leaving the scene of a crash with injury, driving with a suspended license, and being a felon in possession of a firearm. There are also additional charges that are just too long to list during this short segment. And that's it. That's the global gun news, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you feel informed. I hope that we've given you unbiased news. I'm Gary Faust. Tune in next week.
All right. Yeah. That's Gary Faust, our intern, folks. Let me tell you, doing that global gun news. I'm going to give him a
thank
B.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to give him a B minus on that one.
Oh, what?
B minus. That's what you
What could
get on
I have done
one.
Better?
You said assault weapon. What is an assault weapon?
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. Survey says.
Oh, man, I apologize.
Yeah, what's an assault weapon? All right, so, yeah, we got to get that out of our vocabulary.
Yeah.
Right, but other than that, everything was good. You know, it's hard to say some of those names there, but you did pretty good. All right, so let's go back to talking about Mike Bloomberg. All right, so, you know, honestly, this guy's running as a Democrat on a Democrat ticket. And I don't know how he expects to get the black vote at all when you say that crime, you know, basically you're saying crime is only committed in the black, well, minority communities.
Yeah, but isn't that what Hillary Clinton did? She called all black men super predators.
Well, you know, that's why I
say, a lot of black people still voted for her.
Hey, that's why I say they're voting for the slave master. if you vote one of these people into office. it's painful. I know I shouldn't say it, but that's basically what you're doing if you're voting for Mike Bloomberg. All right. So what do you think, Felicia?
I mean, I think he's and I say this as a political nerd. He's running a good race. He came in later than everyone else. He's making an impact. He's getting the free, quote unquote, media that Trump did whenever he ran, too. I don't like him. I'm not going to vote for him.
He's milquetoast Trump.
From a campaign.
Guy has no idea what he's doing, dude. He's trying to be like Trump, and he looks like a fool.
Well, he's hired great people then.
Yeah. Well, he's spending a lot of money.
He's spending.
Have you seen these messages
money, yeah.
that he's been sending? I don't know if they're true.
On
I haven't
Instagram?
Actually looked into it. I just thought it was funny. But
yeah.
He's been sending messages and paying for meme accounts
uh-huh.
to spread his image as being the cool candidate.
I will say, I think that's doing the exact opposite of what he wanted it to do.
That's what I'm saying. Who's he making ground with? Who's going to vote for this guy? Who do you think?
I mean, there's uninformed masses. And they're just going to say, hey, well, I saw him during the Super Bowl, or he was on my Hulu account, because for some odd reason, I'm getting their targeted ads pretty heavily.
You're getting Bloomberg ads?
Yeah.
Really?
I've got a few, too.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't.
They're all over my feed.
I'm not his demographic.
Facebook also thinks that I'm like a 45 Latina with two kids based on like what I post. So I just get weird ads all the time. Half of them are in Spanish. But, I mean, he's getting the earned media. He is. And that's exactly what Trump did in 2016.
But you got to be, you know, if you're a so-called minority, you got to be stupid to vote for this guy. That's all I got to say. Based on how he governed New York.
Isn't he the one who started Stop and Frisk?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, if you're looking for police accountability or anything like that, and you vote for Mike Bloomberg, you've got to be.
Felicia, I don't think this guy's gaining ground. I think it might appear that way, but I really don't think that anybody is really into that guy. Now, I will say this.
Are.
I will say this. I have talked to people who say that they might vote for Bloomberg because he can beat Trump. They think he can beat Trump, but I don't think anybody actually likes the guy. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think that you have to be likable to run a good campaign. Because there's a lot of campaigns out there that the people aren't likable. Look at Hillary Clinton, you know, like. A lot of people didn't like her, but, well,
but they,
that also wasn't a good campaign either. But I don't think that he's likable. I think that people think that he can beat Trump, and then that makes him likable. If you look at the polls, some recent polls came out this past week, and he's actually over Biden now. So, I mean, he hasn't
won. Do you believe the polls?
No.
I don't either.
I think most people I know that are more liberal are voting for Sanders, and they like Sanders, just like 2016.
I think a lot of people our age are definitely Sanders. I'm trying to think of different demographics.
Yeah,
I think
that's
the
true.
Older people do like Bloomberg. And so I look at – if I'm going to look at a poll, I look at 15 different polls, and I see what everyone's saying. Even if it's something as, like, small as a local news station did a poll, like KVU will do here in Austin, all the way to the big.
Do you have any numbers on local polls off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I wonder what people are saying in Austin about Bloomberg. I have not met a single person that.
I think this is Bernie country.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, pretty solidly.
Or
but
Yang.
You have to remember.
Yang was somebody, but Yang just dropped out.
You have to remember the average age in Austin is 36. So that's going to be
36.
Your millennials. And so therefore they're going to be Bernie Sanders supporters. But if you went to,
it's a valid point.
Washington or Seattle, that's a younger city too, but they may be more Bloomberg. So I think if you wanted to look at local polls, I would look at those older, well-off Caucasian areas and see what they're polling, because it's not Biden.
My grandma liked Hillary Clinton. I'm going to ask her about Bloomberg.
Yeah, see what your grandma said.
My grandma's the heart of the Democratic Party.
I'm from a family of straight-up Trumpers, so I don't really have anyone to ask.
Sonny, let me tell you, this is how it's going to go.
Let me tell you, young man.
Speaking of polls.
I hope my grandma's not listening.
Speaking of polls, let's go to Dallas, Texas. Boy, did you hear about that stripper?
Nice transition.
It wasn't even the next story, but you know what? I'm going to skip to it.
Where's the applause for that?
Hey, yeah. There it is. Speaking of the polls.
My man.
Let me tell you, when they say Texas, things are bigger in Texas, they are bigger in Texas. Did you see that? I got to check this strip club out.
Great, dude. I'm going there.
I got to check this place out. my birthday. But anyway, so we're going to check this place out because in Dallas, Texas, this stripper, she climbs this pole all the way to the top. And it's like, what, two stories high?
She climbed to the ceiling.
To the ceiling. Hell yeah. She was hanging on for dear life. And let me tell you, we come back from the break. We got to show you this video because I didn't think you were allowed to take video inside the strip club. I was always told you're not allowed to do
that. I've been told that a number of times.
That. Never been in a strip club before, but I've been told that.
Michael.
Hey, lightning. Okay, good. No lightning. All right, good. All right, so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this Texas stripper who breaks her jaw, sprains her ankle, and chips her teeth after falling from a 15-foot pole. Because you know why? Everything in Texas is big. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Duckman Jones, and I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
That's right. Everything is big in Texas, including stripper poles, let me tell you. So we want to talk about the battle of the billionaires for the most powerful office in the world. So you got Donald Trump. You have I attack everyone. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. Donald Trump, you have Mike Bloomberg, and you have Bernie Sanders. And I tell you, they're battling it out. And Mike Bloomberg is spending millions of dollars of his personal money to get that high seat in the land.
You know about the original battle of the billionaires?
What's the original battle?
That was WWE. It was Vince McMahon against Donald Trump.
Really?
Uh-huh. That's WrestleMania 23.
No way. The Battle of the Billionaires.
Uh-huh.
All right. But you know what? You know, that's a good poll, but there's another poll I want to talk about, and that's in Dallas. And this stripper, she climbed the I think it's the tallest stripper pole in the country.
How tall was it?
And Felicia says that's not 15 feet, you know. And I think a female measured that, and I think it's larger than 15 feet. Felicia?
I don't know why you're always having to attack. why can't we just agree that, I mean, it can't simultaneously be 15 feet and two stories.
Right, right.
Like,
This is true.
It's really tall. It's definitely more than 15 feet.
But if you haven't seen the video, check this out. Check this video out. Yeah, and she bites it hard. Oh, man, insane. I tell you, that's, you know, my heart and my prayers go out to her, you know, because definitely that was a hard fall. But she got up. She started. What did she do?
She started twerking. Like, she hit the ground and then hit a pose and immediately started dancing. And the article said that she just had to have her jaw wired shut.
Wow. And she's got
a GoFundMe.
Hey, support her. Yeah, just, you know.
Support local strippers.
That's right.
And Wendy Williams gave her a $10,000 scholarship.
Let me tell you, Tamika needs it. You know what I'm telling you, because that was a hard fall. It was a hard fall.
She said it's a blessing in disguise because it helped her get out of the stripping game.
Oh. What's she going to school for?
More stripping. I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't say that. So let's change gears. Let's talk about Dylan Roof.
The okay. call-in number is 512-543-2284. I've been waiting weeks and months to do that to you.
What's that?
To say the call-in number. You always say it when I say something.
Oh, okay, what's the call-in number?
I just said it. 512-543-2284.
All right. Come and talk it. All right, so let's talk about Dylan Roof, because Dylan Roof represented himself at his capital trial. He was a 22-year-old ninth grade dropout diagnosed with schizophrenia, spectrum disorder, autism, anxiety, and depression. And he believed that his sentence didn't matter because white nationalists would free him from prison after an impending race war. You know, this guy was crazy.
That sounds like something Charles Manson would say.
Yeah, usually your killers are. I tell you, it's insane. So he didn't think it mattered at all.
Yeah, did you know his sister, an 18-year-old girl, she carried a weapon into school as well.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. And she got caught?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't hear that, did you? I didn't hear that.
It was a while back, a couple of years ago, but...
Before the shooting?
It was after. It was in 2018.
After the shooting?
Wow.
Okay, wow. So it runs in the family. Cray-cray runs in the family. Mm-hmm. And you check that gene pool out. Let's go over to Florida real quick. Florida red flag gun laws used 3,500 times since the Parkland shooting. And February 14th, Valentine's Day, is the anniversary of that Parkland shooting. And it happened in Florida, the Parkland High School. And so apparently they've used the red flag laws 3,500 times since.
And so did you know that equates to about 5 a day there?
No, really?
Mm-hmm.
So a 23-year-old man who posted on Facebook, "I don't know why I don't go out on a killing spree." Well, West Palm Beach couple who shot up their home while high on cocaine. A 31-year-old Gulf Coast man who pointed a semi-automatic rifle at a motorcyclist. These are all the people that were, you know, brought up on those red flag laws. They may be justified. What do you think?
But they're justified under different laws already on the book. They're not justified under the premise of red flag laws.
And I agree 100%.
And that's what people don't understand, is we already have all of these laws on the books that aren't being enforced, and we don't need red flag laws. We just need law enforcement to do what they're already supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's illegal.
Good luck.
It's illegal to kill someone. You can't do terroristic threats. You can't take a gun to school. These are all felonies, people. So you're right. There are already laws on the books already. And we talk about it time and time again. And also, I think this happened in Philadelphia, I believe, a 6-year-old pointed a finger gun at her teacher and said, "I'll shoot you." Her school called the cops.
What?
Yeah.
On a 6-year-old?
On a 6-year-old. They called the cops, and it was a finger, just a finger.
What's wrong with these people?
Just with a finger. So Maggie Gaines understands why her daughter's teacher at Valley Forge Elementary School went to the principal after the 6-year-old pointed her finger at the teacher like a gun and said, "I shoot you."
And the kid had Down syndrome.
And the kid had Down syndrome.
What is going on?
Yeah.
Educators failing students.
That's where we
are today. Law enforcement failing citizens.
Strippers falling from poles.
Strippers falling from 80-foot poles.
It's insane. It's a crazy world out there, I'm telling you. And also, you hear about the dating app. This happened.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
This is out of Chicago. So a man using a dating app to rob victims with a stun gun.
What do you think about that? I think that's which app are we talking here? It's not Bumble. Bumble's too
nope,
classy.
Nope, not Bumble.
It's probably like was it Plenty of Fish or something.
Nope, not that one.
Was it Grindr?
Clover.
I believe so.
It was Grindr. Oh no! Oh no! Not Grindr.
Oh man! No. It wasn't you, was it, Michael?
Whoa! Slow down! Slow down! There's no. I have no dating apps on my phone. I can assure you of that.
Can I see it?
No, ma'am. She's trying to take that little flashing thing off my phone. I'm not falling for that trick there.
I've been trying to get him to give me his phone unlocked for like 2.5 years. It's only happened twice.
Ain't going to happen. I have to be really drunk for that.
We're going out after this. It'll
all
happen.
Right. Well, so to the bar we go.
They thought they were meeting their dates near some of Chicago's nicest hotels. Instead, they were threatened with a stun gun and robbed.
Did anybody actually get tased?
4 attacks all in December. One of them took place at a Cambria hotel. They're all centered in downtown Gold Coast areas. And the police said the victims and their attackers met on the dating app Grindr. And they pointed out that the risk of meeting up privately with people you don't really know, you know, that can be really dangerous. What do you think?
They found out the hard way.
Yes, they did. The very hard way.
The hard way.
Oh. All right, so God and Glock. You hear about this. So Texas churchgoers, that's right. They're putting a new meaning to praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. So Texas churchgoers are training to fight off attackers wielding guns. Ever since that, you know, we had the church shooting, you know, a few weeks back, last month in Texas, you know, churchgoers they're training. They're getting that training. They're going to the gun range. They're making sure they're going to, you know, protect their parishioners. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So beneath the Christmas lights still hanging in the church fellowship room, Jack Mills pointed a Glock handgun at his enemy's chest and pulled the trigger. A loud crack rang out as a shell casing flew from the weapon. But the man facing the gunfire didn't fall. Instead, a red light on his high-tech vest began blinking, signaling a hit from the laser in Mills' gun. So they, you know, they have some high-tech training that they're using, and they're definitely getting the training, and they're learning how to, you know, protect the parishioners if that evil stands up and shows itself. All right, so also, did you hear about the hitman doctor?
I thought that was from a while back.
Well, you know, it's still a good story. So a hitman disguised as a doctor.
A literal assassin.
Hitman disguised as a doctor.
I thought you meant, never mind.
Yeah, and a cop gunned down prisoners being treated in a hospital. What do you think about that? You hear about that, Zach?
They just don't give a flip.
They just don't care, huh?
I'm sure they got paid handsomely.
Right. So the terrifying footage has emerged of two suspected hitmen who disguised as a medic and a policeman firing shots at a prisoner in front of shock patients. The pair, one dressed in a white doctor's coat and the other in a high-vis police jacket, were seen on CCTV cameras entering the Delfina Torres Hospital in Esmeraldas, Ecuador, on Sunday. So in the footage, they walk past the front desk and are led by a security guard to the room where prisoner Alex Lugo Saltos, 33, is being treated. And Saltos, who was serving a 26-year sentence for murder, was sent to the hospital for surgery after being shot in the back and the leg by his inmates.
By his cellmate. He was shot by his cellmate.
How do you get a gun in prison?
Drones. They're using drones now. They use drones to bring firearms, knives, all sorts of stuff over the walls into the prisons. It's actually pretty common.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Don't ask me how I know that.
I tell you what, you know, killers don't need guns to kill people. Timothy McVeigh used fertilizer. 9/11 terrorists used box cutters and planes. The Nazis used cyanide gas. And taking guns from innocent people will not protect innocent people. And Jim Jones convinced followers to commit suicide. Ted Bundy kidnapped, raped, and murdered numerous young women and girls, and Jeffrey Dahmer ate his victims, and John Wayne Gacy was an American serial killer who raped, tortured, and murdered at least 33 teenage boys. If you don't remember anything, remember this. As always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You will listen to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.